he doesn't exist or whatever. That's just the church's whatever. He does exist. But there's one greater than him. His name is Jesus Christ. And he came to seek and save that which is lost. And let's not lose the power and simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if there was a time now in our culture that we need to turn back to the simplicity of the gospel, goodness gracious, our neighbors need Jesus. The same way that you found him, the same way that you came to faith in Christ. And yet along the way, I find that we can get so wrapped up in the busyness or the business of what we think is the church, and we miss the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come follow me. I'm going to give you such a change in your life. Those words ring true today. So Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Next verse, please. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's let those words ring true today, church. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Could we go back to that verse, please? All right, let's say this together, everybody. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Say it again. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. I want you to take note of at once. We're going to talk about that. At once they left their nets and followed him. Next verse, 21. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, also, of course, fishermen. Jesus called them, next verse, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They abandoned the family business. Immediately they left. Let me ask you a question. What brought you to faith in Christ? Well, we know it was the Holy Spirit, but who influenced you for Christ? Who brought you or taught you? Well, for some of us, it was our family. Some of us here have been raised in a family that has served Jesus Christ. What an incredible testimony to have. Some of you did not have a family where they saw faith as important, or where they saw that Jesus was the only way, the truth, and the life. Some of you maybe have lived in a family that was agnostic or atheist, or just thought that all roads lead to God. You know, if you just do enough good works, just be a good person. That is absolutely important. Be a good person. But we do that now out of the transformation that comes through Christ. How did you come to faith in Christ? How did you hear the call to come follow me? For me, it was when I was 7 years of age, gave my life to Christ. What was it like for you? How did it transform your life? And what did you see that Jesus had to offer that was so transformational that you said, I'm in? I'm in. Because notice in these words, he never said, come follow me. And by the way, you have to have your life cleaned up before you do that. Did you notice that? There was no such words. You had better get things straightened out before you do that. He calls us to follow him where we're at. Isn't that amazing? He calls us to come after him. Can you imagine spending 3.5 years with Jesus? But what compelled them to leave everything and drop everything and follow him. We're just going to think for a bit today. I don't really have the answer. I want you to think about it. I think I can give you some suggestions. One of my suggestions is I think they hated their jobs. I think they couldn't stand it. You know, we think of fishing. You know, we're you know, sport fishing in North America, right? You got the beautiful Lund boat, spit it out, boat, and you're casting a line, and you're laying there, and you're drinking out of the cooler water. And I know what a lot of you were thinking. You know, this relaxed Saturday before church, and, you know, you're throwing the line in. That was not at all what these dudes were doing. The nets were brutally heavy. They had weights on them. They were round. They stunk. And it was incredibly hard work. And often, and we see this in Luke chapter 5, they would fish all night. And they got zero. Nothing. Which meant no money. Do you know that 85% of people in North America can't stand what they're doing for work? Were you aware of that? How many of you were aware of that? 85% of people can't stand their place of employment or their career path or what they're doing. I have an answer for you. Follow Jesus Christ. He will put you in the place where you need to be. But I think they just weren't happy with their jobs. I think the family business for James and John was horrible. And it was just like, boom. That's one of my suggestions. The other thing is, I think they saw the love in Jesus, love in Christ. I also, though, think being of Israel, I thought they thought, you know what? He's come back here. He's going to set up a new government and a new kingdom. We're going to have a high place in the kingdom here. We're going to get a position. And that is evident in James and John's mother when she says, let them sit at your right and your left. I think they thought, we're going to get a big position here. Following Christ is not a position. Following Christ is the very fact that we will serve one another out of love. One of the most impactful statements that Randy made when we had the tables in here and we were talking that Sunday morning about life groups. And he could have said this one statement. He made many that were very good. But he could have made this one statement. We could have closed our books, or the Bible. We could have just sat there and pondered the statement. And for me, it was, have you ever thought that if you don't feel like being in a life group or you don't feel like being in church that day, there might be somebody there that needs you? Jesus was calling people to something that was so much greater than themselves. I remember wrestling through the whole call of full-time ministry with God. Not a chance. I'm not doing it, Lord. But these guys just immediately left everything and followed Christ. Do you remember when you came to Christ? Do you remember what it did for your life? My prayer is that we have a moment with God when we remember how we were so wondrously born again. How we were so powerfully made new. That it wasn't a religious act, and if it was, it's not going to work. Because it's just religion 101 all over again. Jesus didn't call us to that. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He called them to something that was so much bigger, so much greater, so much more powerful, to be a disciple, to live for him, and also to die for him. And if I've ever seen the evidence of what that is, I saw that in Iraq. When I sat across from brothers that had been persecuted, and which we don't have a real full understanding, not an understanding really at all here in North America, but he calls us to radical life change. He doesn't call us to a system of religion. He calls us to radical life change, and it's called grace. It's called mercy. And he's calling us to that again. And he's calling us to tell others about the mercy and the grace of our God. They left everything. Secondly, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Jesus chose people that we would not have chosen. Maybe some of you wouldn't have chosen me to be a pastor. Don't you start laughing. I wouldn't have chosen me. That's the truth. I would not have chosen me. I would not have done it. Because I know me. I know me. Come on. If we're really honest today, you know what you're battling also. But grace covers it. Can I hear a big amen? Wow. Grace. Wow. I wouldn't have chosen those guys. I'd have been looking for somebody who had influence in culture. I'd have been looking for somebody, that could speak to the masses, that was sharp, bright. I'd be looking for somebody who had their stuff together. I'd be looking for somebody who, you know, had influence with the Roman government. He chose ordinary people. He chose people of no esteem. He chose people that didn't have their stuff together. And he chooses us to follow him when all of our marbles aren't in one place. They're kind of messed up at times. He chooses us. He calls us. There's something greater. I've chosen you. Look what this scripture says out of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Think about it. Now, I want to say something, too. After Christ, if you think you're better than others, you have not experienced Jesus. Can I hear an amen, please? You've not. If you think you're better, or, you know, I read a story about a shepherd, a pastor, and someone he knew, another pastor, fell into sexual sin. And he made the statement, he says, I've got that part of my life covered. I can't believe that guy did that, and on he went. 6 months later, he was in an affair with another woman. We're not better, but we are made brand new by the power of Christ. But think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Every time I read that, I go, He chose me. He chose me. And He chose you. He chose you. He called you. You haven't got it all together. Good. The more I shepherd and the more we pastor the church together, Pastor Larry and Ken and Randy, I think church should be messy. Thanks for the grand applause. Church is messy. People come with stuff. They should be able to come with their stuff to this service. They've got junk. And you don't? Call me this week. We'll talk about it. And then I'll tell you, well, no, I won't tell you about mine. Did you lose me, Lindsay? Because I just feel I've dropped. No? Okay. All right, that's me. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Wow. Next verse. 29. So that no one may boast before him. Wow. The Apostle Paul says we boast in one thing, the cross. That's all we boast in, the cross. Next verse. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, watch this, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You know why Jesus chose those guys? Because by the power of his finished work of the cross, he made them into saints. And by the power of the cross, he makes you and I into saints. And saints are messy at times. Everybody say amen. Amen. Yeah. So keep bringing in the messy people, and we go out to the messy people. Church is not a perfect place. It's just not a perfect place. But we serve an all-perfect God, holy and righteous, and we have become righteous because of Christ. That's the call. He didn't call perfect people. He didn't call people in a certain condition. Scripture does tell us that he spent a whole night praying before he chose these people. You don't think the Father spoke to him and said, you're going to see the people you're going to choose and that we're going to use? You bet. It was the Holy Spirit of God speaking to Jesus. Change comes, hear this, change comes as we follow Christ. Change comes as we daily submit our life to Christ. Change comes as we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Change comes as the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. Change comes, but that change is birthed by the Holy Spirit, not by following a set of rules. This is good preaching. This is really good preaching. No, this is really good preaching because it's Bible. It comes because the Spirit of God is birthed in us. And that's how change comes. And change comes by reading this beautiful Word of God. And he called imperfect people. And even after Christ, boy, they messed up a whole bunch, a lot of them. But God used them very, very mightily. God used them. Wow. I like my preaching. Okay. Three thoughts. Jesus is looking for people to follow him, not just to give him lip service and, you know, oh yeah, we'll show up at church today. It's important you're here. But to obey his commands, be different. Jesus finds people in their environment. He found you in your environment. He went to them. We're all sitting in here. It's good. Don't misunderstand me, in these comfy chairs. And then we're heading out to Medicine Hat Buffet afterwards. And we're going to eat our lunch. And then 7 days later, we do the same thing over and over again. Seriously, no, no. Yeah, show up, be encouraged. Jesus came to you in your environment, but then he changes your environment by the power of the Spirit, and he calls us, go be fishers of men. Tell somebody about me. Tell somebody. And thirdly, can we get that slide up? Thank you. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much. Please discuss your thoughts as to why. Think about this. Discuss in your groups tonight why or during the week they immediately followed him. The Greek word follow has a sense of urgency. I don't think we have a sense of urgency in the church anymore. We don't. If we're just honest, can we just be frank today? Where's the urgency? People are dying. And lost. We'll argue about the stupidest things in church you can imagine. And yet people are dying and going to hell. That's my evangelistic heart. There has to be a shift. It amazes me. If I asked every single one of you this question, do you want our church to grow? Everybody here would say yes. Everybody would say yes. But then when you realize that means it has to change, you go, don't want that. No, do you ponder that? No, that means something has to change. No, folks. If we're going to grow in Christ, that means change. It means letting go of things. It means examination of our lives, right? And if we're going to grow as a church, it means change. How do we reach this culture? But I think when Jesus called those men, I think he gave them significance. How many of you long for significance? You've been pushed aside, family issues. I speak to people who have absolutely no contact with their family. They've been severed and cut off, wounded. No significance in their life. Jesus calls us to significance. Secondly, he valued them. All of us have a longing. God put it in us to be valued. To be valued. I think they saw that. Because I think they went, why would he ask us? But he's asking you. He taught them. And he teaches us today. His word. His words are profound. And his words are beautiful, but his words sometimes sting. Anybody discover that? Sometimes they, oh, that hurt. But they're his words. He gave them purpose. I can't imagine, honestly, going back to what I used to do. I can't fathom the thought. I still really love business, by the way. Love it. But I can't fathom going back to that. The call of Christ gives us significance. And the call is on each one of us. It gives me value, and Christ has taught me, and others have taught me, and I've watched their example. And he's given me purpose. Gave me purpose. He believed in me. He believes in you. And Christ believed in them. Can you put that next slide up, please? This is a great statement. It's wonderful when the people believe in the leader. It's more wonderful when the leader believes in the people. Jesus believes in us. And Jesus believes in you. An example from my own life, and then we're gonna have a real few minute, real heart to heart here. When the Lord was calling me, and I remember very distinctly the words I said to the Father, I said, I will never pastor a church. Go ahead, laugh. I will never pastor a church. I said it driving home from Vernon to Armstrong. I said, I will never pastor a church. Here's what else I said to him. We will never have this conversation again. I bet you the Father elbowed Jesus and said, here he goes again. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, let's send the Holy Spirit down on him. Father said, good plan. Jesus had a call, and Jesus has a call on you. and it's to follow him and be all that you can be for him. I'm going to share something with you that is one of my greatest frustrations in leading people, whether that was in management or whether in the church. Greatest frustration absolutely drives me to drink water. It just, when people say to me, I can't do that, or I can't teach a class, or I can't lead that, or I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Inside I'm going, and I think the Father chuckles at me because I said that to him. Every person in here is called to follow Jesus with absolute abandonment. Every person in here is called to Jesus in such a radical way, the same way that Jesus called the disciples, he's calling you. And you can disciple somebody. You can. And you can greet somebody. And you could facilitate a Bible study with someone. And you can do something for the Lord. The one who says you can't is the one you need to take thoughts captive to, and that's the enemy whispers in your mind, you can't do that. Or we're just too busy. And we go, no, I can't give that time. What if we, if you worked a 40-hour work week and we, as people just said, we'll give the Lord a tithe of that time, 4 hours a week. We don't want you, honestly. Our heart's desire as your pastors are not to be busy here. We want to be productive going about doing what God has called us to do and build the kingdom of God. And if we're doing things in the church that are not building the kingdom of God, we're not going to do them anymore. We've said that before. Our whole heart's desire is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and raise up leaders. And I see leaders all over here. A leader is someone who can influence one other person. That's a leader. And all of you can do that. All of you are gifted. All of you have been given things by God, and you can. Sharon, would you come to the piano? We believe in you. We believe in you, but greater than us, don't look to us. Let's stand together. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. He believes in you. He's the one that's calling us to an absolute fresh abandonment. A commitment. Remember that commitment? That commitment when you committed your life to Christ? Remember that? I don't know where it was. It doesn't have to be here. It can be in a coffee shop, be in your house, wherever you said yes to Christ. Believe. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. But it's a greater call than that. It's not just a fire. God isn't a fire extinguisher. You know, it's not just to escape hell. It's for divine purpose on earth. It's great. It's the best life. Can I hear an amen? Oh, is it a great life? Sure, there's struggles. We struggle like everybody else. Sometimes more. Sometimes more. But what a life. The call to be a disciple of Christ. The call to let go of stuff that's hindering us of being everything we can be for God. Yeah. You say, well, what about you, Pastor Mark? What about you? You know, where are you at? Whoa. There's a wrestle in me. There's a wrestle in my spirit. You've heard for greater things of God. More. A holy dissatisfaction. Come on, tell me some of you aren't there. Sure, it's good. What a marvelous call. Let's bow our heads. Father, there may be people here today that need to give their lives over to Christ. And oh, dear Jesus, it's not a religion. Forgive us for making it that. We've put these things in, but it's a clarion call to turn away from your old life, to repent and come to Christ who loves you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then there's a call to the church. Maybe we need to repent also of letting so many things get in the way of being all that God has called us to be. I'm not your judge. I'm here to proclaim love and mercy because I see it in my own life and my own heart. So if you're here today, firstly, hear this clearly. If you're here and you would, I need Christ, Pastor. How do I do that? Would you just, every head bowed, lift your hand, and I'm going to have somebody pray with you at the end of the service. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. But keep your hand up so I can acknowledge it if there's anybody here this morning. Jesus. All right, if you're here and believers, the church, right? And you're looking for greater value and significance and a cause and all that stuff, and you feel the Lord stirring you, I just want to encourage you to keep on, and tell people about Christ and get involved. And He calls us to be His disciples. It's a great call, but it's something we have to take serious. Let's lift our hands. Father God, we're called to be disciples of Jesus, your Son. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. By your Spirit, would you bring transformation, Lord? Renewal, revival, transformation, change, hunger. He called us to follow Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today. We praise you today. Amen. Amen. You're a really amazing church. And that's you. And we do believe in you. And so as we walk through the next 8 weeks, and it's not just some 8 week, 9 week series that we've conjured up, discipleship is day by day. Follow Jesus. Love one another. Care one for another. And tell people about the love of God. Can you do that? Have a blessed week.